Let's begin our discussion. We had a couple of weeks on Ebenezer topics. I still have one that we didn't do yet, and that is going through a wedding, start to finish. So we'll do that. I don't want to do it this week, but we'll do it another week. But I'll start a couple of maybe Yaradea topics, and that is, number one, a crucial topic, which we don't always learn about, and that's Tefillas Kelim. This scandal comes up all the time, and I guess that's to do with Ebenezer also, because, you know, the first step of getting married, what you spend many hours on when you're engaged, is at the Kelim Mikvah. So that's important to know the halachas of what and how and what needs and what doesn't need. So it'll probably take us at least two, maybe three. We'll see if we can squeeze it into two. Next week, I assume there is no shir, the one of the nights of Hanukkah, Monday night. So we'll go through this time, and then in 2 weeks from now, that's Sasha. Start with a story that happened my first year teaching. 2000. I remember I was giving a shiur on, I think about Messiah. But anyway, Tefillas Kelim came up somehow on a Thursday. Fine. On Sunday morning, what did I tell me Dim came in and said, Rebbe, you're not going to believe where I was on Friday. Like, where were you on Friday? And he's from a regular one of the metropolitan big communities in New York City area. Regular from family. Where was I? I'm like, where are you? He says, I was at the Kelim Mikvah. I'm like, why were you at the Kelim Mikvah? He said, I came home and I told my mother about what I learned. She had never heard of it before. She called up the rabbi and asked, is it one of these newfangled chumras of the young rabbis? You know, coming up with this, like, hobble in your keys. He's like, no, actually, it's a halakha. So we took our entire kitchen, all of our silverware and glasses, and we spent on one. And it was so inspiring because, you know, this was a Talmud of mine. He was 22 years old and 21 years old. Everybody is in Israel. So they were married for whatever. And like most of the time, you're like, okay, whatever. They were using non-tovel kelim for 25 years. So like you would think. But they got up and they went and they did it. It was very inspiring. And I use that often to, like, when we hear something, we change, we use it, we put it into our lives. And that's something that applies to everything in life. But this is Tefillas Kelim. We will talk about, hopefully we have heard of it, and we'll try to just get some of the details down over the next two to three sessions. So the pasuk tells us in the end of Sefer Bamidbar that when the Jews conquered the Midianim, we took a lot of their Kelim. And Moshe told us we had to kasher the Kelim. We had to kasher them. And these are rules of Haggalah. Maybe we'll talk about that another time. Achad Azov, is a Kesef, is a Nechoshes. Six metals are mentioned here. Interesting. Are there any other metals that the Torah didn't know about, Chas V'Shalom? Or are all metals included in these six metals? Aluminum is not on the list. Right? So what do you do with that? Okay, but either way, the Torah tells us, Kol Darasha Yavo Be'esh, Tavir Be'esh, anything that's used in fire has to pass through fire. Right? Laws of kashering, as the rule says, Kavolo Kapolto. If it's used, in water, it has to be kasher with hot water. If it's used with fire, it has to be kasher with fire. Okay, that's the drasha of Haggalas Kelim. This is not what we're going to talk about, but it's just the contrast that we have to be aware of. Koshering, putting something in hot water, putting something in with a blowtorch, that is not what we're talking about. That is removing a problem. Haggal and koshering is removing a problem. Something's strafe, and you're removing the tarfus inside of it. How do you know that it's just removing a problem? There's no bracha on kashering. You don't make a bracha on haggah if you trafed up a fork and you have to put it into a boiling hot water to kasher it up. There's no bracha on that, because we never make a bracha by removing a problem. There's no bracha on haggalas kelim. There's no bracha on mayim achronim. So it's removing a problem. There's no bracha if we would do netilas sedayim just to remove the ruach ra. Like if you leave a cemetery, you wash your hands. In the morning, we wash Netilas Yadayim for three reasons. So if it was just the reason for Ruach Ra, we would not make a bracha. But we also do two other reasons why we wash Netilas Yadayim in the morning, and that's why we make a bracha. For the other two reasons. Maybe if it's Yadayim Askanias, we also wouldn't make a bracha. But there's a third reason. Because we're like a Kohen starting to do the Avod in the base of Mikdash. If Bir Chametz was just about removing Chametz, we probably wouldn't make a bracha. Maybe you talk about that a little bit in the morning. There has to be something positive created by the biur that we're doing, creating a cheskas batek, whatever it is, but just removing a problem is that we never make a bracha. Tefillas kelim, we make a bracha. Why? Because tefila is something different. Tefila is a requirement. Major machlokas, whether it's darais or drabanan, maybe it's alluded to in these psukim here. But it's at least the mitzvah d'rabanan, the mitzvah of tevilas kelim. Tevilas kelim is the Gemara Darshan's at the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah. Tana, on this on the Mishnah that talks about kashering, the Gemara says in source number 2, line 3, the kulan tzrich and tevilah barbaim sa. But they all need tevilah in a mikvah. All the kelim after kashering, as we'll see soon, needs tevilah in the mikvah. And there's an allusion to that in the pasuk, and again, it's a machlokas whether it's a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabanan. But this, what's the mitzvah about? Hosafas kedusha. Just like a ger has to go to a mikvah when he becomes Jewish, any utensil that was made by a non-Jew, we want to be mosif kedusha to it before we use it. That's what tevila is. Nothing to do with kashering. Nothing to do with treif. We see the guy make the kli from start to finish. Right? There's nothing not kosher in it. But still, that's the mikvah, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Trolin Simin Kufchav in Yerodeya. Hakone me'ovik ochavim kli sudish amateches oshos ruches. We'll get to the materials a little bit later. Metal, glass, v'chulu. Avo bishim chadashim, even though they're new. Tzorach latvila me'mikvah. They told them in a mikvah, o ma'ayan. Right, those are the two ways to make something tar. Ma'ayan or mikvah, differences between the two of them. Those learned daf yomi, comes up on tomorrow's daf. Shalar ba'im sa'a. Right, the mikvah ma'ayan. And the halacha is that we just have to be different and special and add kedusha, like Rabbi Forrest writes in his Hebrew Sefer on Kashrus. Hashem commands us that just like we have to make our food different, we have to make our food kalim different. And therefore, we have to be mosif kedusha. Food is such an integral part of our life. Right? We're always eating as Jews, not only because we like food, but because, you know, sometimes we have to eat. Right? We have to have three meals on Shabbos. We eat like human beings. But we have to sanctify. Eating plays a major part of our life. So we have to separate and add kedusha into everything that we can. Not only is it a mitzvah, though, that we know, at least midrabana, there is an isser to use kelim that are not tovel. Turning over, there's an isser to use kelim that are not tovel even once. For some reason, this is a misconception. Right, I gave a shiur. I don't know if I gave it. I think I gave it on Zoom last year to my shiur. One of the Zoom shiurim. Top 10 halakha misconceptions. This was one of them. You can use a kli once without tovling it. Right, that's wrong. You cannot use it even once without tovling it. Asur, says the Rama, source 5. Asur l'shtamish bo l'sar chesuda afilu derech harai below tefila. Even just to use the derech harai. Right, one is not allowed to do that. Avo bishalachu l'sar klafim b'chulu. The Chachmas Adam, the Chai Adam writes, in Nishtamish Kli Kodem Shetavlu Lo Ne'asar HaMachal. The food doesn't become Asar if I use the non-Tovot Kli, but Afilu Abisho Bo Me'a Pa'amim Sarab Litbo Loso. Using it 100 times doesn't take away the Chiyav Tefillah. Right, so there's a Chiyav Tefillah, now to use it without it, the Chiyav never disappears. And again, even if you say the mitzvah is Daraisa, it still does not answer the food. It's not like Bishol Akum, which is also not because of Tarfus, but it's because of Chasnus. There, the food is Nasar. And there's a machlokas we showed him about the Kalim, whether the Kalim become Nasar. Cooking something in a not total Kli, right? The Kli is not Nasar, and the food is not Nasar. There is an interesting discussion in the Achronim. It comes up in Pesach too. There are certain types of items that are tricky to determine whether they're called a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Right, most things are batel in life. If you have issur that falls into heter, it's batel. One in 60, one in 100, one in 200, all different shiurim. But there are certain items that are not batel for various reasons. One of them is called a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Whole simin shulchan aruch about things that are going to become mutter. If it's going to become mutter, then it's not batel even in 1,000. In egg that's laid on yantif. Maybe chametz, machlokas, rishonim. Whether chametz is a davar sheyesh lo matirin, it's going to be mutter in a week from now. It's going to be on the next Pesach. Is a something that's a spoon that got trafed up? Is that a davar sheyesh lo matirin? Well, who cares? It happens often. Hopefully, not often. You put the fork on the top because you have to kasher it. You trafed it up. You put a milk and fork into a hot hamburger, and then all of a sudden, your cleaning lady put the fork back into the drawer. Which fork got trafed up? Oh, it's batel. Batel be plenty. Right? There's plenty of forks in there. No, wait. Davar sheyesh lo matirin. You can take all your forks into the mikvah. Is it a davar sheyesh lamatir if it's davar sheyesh bo tircha? If it's a big pain, is that called a davar sheyesh lamatir or not? That's a big discussion. Lamaisa tried to put it in place, not on the windowsill right next to the drain. Right, put it somewhere where it's far away so you don't get into this discussion and you don't have to rely on bitul. You're not going to have to tovel your whole discussion. All the kalim. So if it gets strafed up, but again, that's a discussion whether something that is not tovelt is a davar sheyesh lamatir. Right, something that's not tovelt, because you can tovel it. Okay, that's a discussion. It only applies, again, these are rules and regulations. That's the first section that we're doing. Yeah.
So what's the halacha?
What is the halacha? It's a machlokas achronim. If it's not too much of a tircha, you should tovel. Take it all and do it without a bracha. Whenever you have a suffix, as we'll see, many sveikos, tovel without a bracha. That's what we say. I gave you the Shulchan Aruch talks about a kli that's nashav b'blias iser. The Har Tzvi talks about it. If it gets mixed in, okay. Next, the halacha only applies where one buys something from a non-Jew. If I'm using something of a non-Jew, there is no chiyuv. If I borrow a kli from a non-Jew, there is no chiyuv to tovel. The Shulchan Aruch says in source 11, it's in Kuf Chaf Sif Ches, Hashoel o socher kli me'oras galilim, eino ta'un tefila. It does not require tefila. I've only saw kno me'oras galilim, b'shil ha'chaver. If a Jew buys it, Jew buys it. If a Jew owns it, then it's chayiv b'tefila, even if it goes to another Jew. This could come up handy. What happens if it's Shabbos? Is this a drabbanon of tobling on Shabbos? That's tikkun. Tikkun. Yeah, the Gemara Beis has a couple of days why you can't tovel on Shabbos and Yontif. But one of them is you're fixing. So what happens if you didn't tovel something before Shabbos? Oh, I could give it to my neighbor. I could give it to my help in the house. You own it now. Thanks. Can I use it? All right. So can you give? That's another machlokes Rishonim. Are you about to give him a matana on Shabbos? Let's assume like the Rishonim that say you give him a matana. Right. It's a scot. Give him mafker on Shabbos. Ramban, Tosfos. Right. We know that bittul. But the Shulchan Aruch says im shachat lo hibok the mirav Shabbos or mirav Yontif yitznenu lo v'kochavim a matana. Give it to the guy. The matana. They didn't have a ton. Like nowadays, how does it come up? We have a zillion kalim. But in the days of old, you don't have so many kalim. Let's say you're in a place where you don't have so many kalim. Give it to the guy matana v'acharkach yishalom imenu and then borrow it back. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says to do. The Taz says you can't do this though. B'kvius. You can't like, you know what? This is good. I don't have to tovel it. I'll just give you all my kalim. Right? You can't do it, but there are kvius. The Taz writes on that Shulchan Aruch. Nearly daiti kuna eno elo lefi sha'a tahayna lozo Shabbos on that day o b'chol kodlan she'elo mikvah. Right, let's say you live in a place without a mikvah. That can come up. Let's say during the war years, whatever it was. So you know, if somebody has to go to the mikvah, you get no choice. A woman has to go to the mikvah, you don't have the mikvah, you don't have the mikvah. But if you have to tovel kalim, what about last year? A lot of the kalim mikvahs were closed. Tons of people were home for Pesach for the first time. They bought all these new kalim. A lot of the kalim mikvahs were closed. Corona. So what do? Serious shilas. But one of the options was giving it to a guy until the kalim mikvahs were open. Right? Don't have in mind to be kona'it from the store. Again, look at the tshuvas that were all written. Rav Schechter, Rav Osher Weiss, they all had tshuvas about this last year. Right? Do you say it's ones? There's no chiv. Right, or there is a choice. Be mafkir them. That was another one of the options. If you don't own it, be mafkir them, put it outside, then take it back and don't have kavana to be zocha in it, and just have kavana that you're going to use it, but it's still hefker. So again, this came up very seriously last year. Okay, the Ramah has another choice, but this only works by certain kalim. Right? The Gemara talks about this, a beitza. If you tovel something that it doesn't look like you're toveling it, it's a pitcher, so it looks like you're just getting water. So then it's okay. You're not going to violate the Siddurabbanan. But by most kalim, you know, why are you sticking the fork into the mikvah? You know, you're not getting any water. Okay. But again, as the Shulchan Aruch said before, only if you're borrowing it from a guy. If you borrow it from a Jew, and then the Jew gives it to another Jew, then it's already chiyuv tefila. Right? That was the end of the Shulchan Aruch that I didn't finish reading. Where was that Shulchan Aruch? Yeah, that was the previous page. Shulchan Aruch said, back in source 11, Abo Yisrael Kino Beobikal Chavim, but if the Jew buys it from a guy, Vehishilo Lachavero, and lends it to his friend Jew, Toun Tvila. Shekfarnes Chayev Biyad Risho. Because it already has a Chayev Biyad Risho. That is the halacha. But let's just read the next line of the Shulchan Aruch, but it's going to come up in the following case. If the first Jew did not buy it to use for food, some non-food purpose, business, right? You're going to do cards on it or something. If I buy a kli and I have no plans to use it, let's say I buy a chicken scissors, but I'm not planning to use it for chicken scissors. I'm planning to use it in my work area to cut rope. I think chicken scissors are good scissors. You don't have to double it. You didn't buy it l'shem suda. If you didn't buy it l'shem food, then it would not be. You wouldn't have to tovel it. So where does this come up? Where does this help? What happens? And this comes up. I've been asked this often. You're in a situation where there's a good chance that the way you're eating, they did not tovel their dishes. Are you allowed to go there for Shabbos? They didn't tovel their dishes. So are there any heterim? So if it's a public area, hospital, restaurant, v'chulu, then there's definitely more wiggle room based on what we just saw. If somebody does not buy kalim, l'shem eating, but for business purposes, so maybe they don't have a chiyuv to tovel, because they didn't buy it l'shem food. Rav Avadia talks about this. 16. Yechavadas. Ve'emutur lecho v'lishtos bebate ha'aracha in o b'kioskim sherim v'klei suda ha'nilkachim e'gayim she'tunim tefila v'lovit bilam. Right? The kiosks, the place they didn't tovel. Going to a restaurant. When you go to a restaurant that's didn't tovel their kalim. Let's say it's owned by a guy. The restaurant's owned by a guy, and the guy owns everything. Fine. What if it's owned by a Jew? So Ravani goes through the whole discussion, and then he says, line 16. So you have this heter in these public areas. The Me'at Nira. Shabala Misada Shakela Mishimishtamish Bamim Latsura Chaloku Choshalo. The restaurant owner didn't buy it for himself. He bought it for business. He bought it for the restaurant. Nechshav Hadavar Kamishakana Osam Lischora. It's Kilo, he bought it for business. Vasoe Shom Harim Kishulim O Kishur Biyado. So he has that heter. He has that heter for public areas. Could the owner of the restaurant eat in the restaurant then? That's a little tricky. Because then it shows that he's eating it l'shem eating. V'chein gon quotes from the Darkei Tshuva, the Munkasher, Shemikan Pashan HaMelech B'chol HaOlam, Shekonim Mashkoz Eizel Mozek Yisrael, Shalohit Bo Kalev, the one who gives you wine, V'nechoshim L'Yisr HaShimish B'Kalev, Visha Mozek Azmo Pater Benatin, because he didn't buy it for himself, he bought it l'shem business, and therefore there wouldn't be a thief. So that is a heter that one can have, in this b'dieved situation. That's what Rav Avadia at the end, that's the godless of Rav Avadia's tshuva is also, he summarizes at the end, Sikum, the end of source 17, Mutter lecha v'lishtos, v'kioskim o v'misada, you can use these, afilu kishyodim b'birur, even if you know for sure, shekli asud shemishtam shemem lo hut b'luk ha'alacha. If you're to follow Mitzvah, l'hachor, l'hachol kelim, you can tovel them without a bracha. Like, the restaurant owner is the other way too. He has to be machmir. Maybe he doesn't have a chiyuv to be tovel them. So he's tovel them. He should be tovel them without a bracha. Ha'meserech b'vesor shachaveiro, but this doesn't solve the private home problem. Right, the private home problem, he's still stuck. Right, you're eating at somebody's house. So what do you do? Ulam ends off from Ravad. Ya'meserech b'vesor shachaveiro, v'yodesh lohikol as kelim, hatunim tvila. So again, it doesn't answer the food, but you're using kalim. You're drinking. You're eating. Also, the lech of lishos b'kalim asher bilin. You're not allowed to use them. Hold the ikar liki chasim l'shtamish from lachil l'shusia. So what do? Do you have any type of, heter, any type of wiggle room? So Rav Moshe helps out somewhat. What's called usage. Rav Moshe writes, v'ochel bim malon. Hotel. Right, you got a lot of Rav Moshe's English words in Hebrew. Obe misadav echadome. Shein tovlin klayem. Benazol levanav chatichos basar. Lechadome, they gave you meat. Zuchuchis, vein esrichal etzim akli, says Rav Moshe, solids versus liquids. Chiddush Gadol. Rav Moshe has a couple of chiddushim in Hilchas Tefilas Kelim. When you have meat on the plate, do you really need the plate? You don't really need the plate. You could eat on the table. So is it really using the plate? You could do the same thing without soup? Yeah, you need the bowl. Soup and drinks you need. Says Rav Moshe, maybe Yishmachim Lahakel by plates. If you don't really need it. Kiban She'ena Machol Nazar Yishlahatir B'Shazatchak Lito Misham. Oh, I skipped the line. I skipped. Ve'na Tzrichol Nazim HaKli Ve'na Mishtamshim Bo'u Tzorach HaChila Af She'gam Kli She'mishtamshim Bo'u Tzorach Yiveshim Im Gamki Nechshavim Kli Suda. But since the Machol HaNazar Yishlahatir B'Shazatchak Lito Misham B'Yadayim Or whatever she Yitzor Tzvila Bo'echo Avlachim Jamachol Tzorach HaKli Kagon Marak Soup U'machal Avlachim A drink. Says Moshe, I can't fetch out a hefter there. I can't use a hefter there, and therefore, if you go to somebody's house, no thanks. I'm not into the soup right now. I just had a drink before I came. I'm really not thirsty. It's okay. The Moshe says again, in that way, one can be meiko, and eat. Are there other heterim? Some quote. If you look in the Sefer Tzvi Lascalim quotes, you know, maybe. Maybe taking it out the first time is not called eating it. Putting it in is using it. Maybe just removing something is not called using. A little tricky. Because we know that, let's say on Shabbos, you're not allowed to take something off of a tree. Right? That's using the tree. That's a shtamshus ve'ilan. So again, it's a little tricky. But again, are there a tear of somebody? If somebody doesn't know, if somebody's besafek, let's say you have a cousin's somewhere and go to their house, I don't think you have to ask. I don't think you should ask. You know, if you have their Shomri Shabbos, you know, Shomri Kashrus, you can go to their house. You know, you don't have to ask. Even if it's a suffix, it's a suffix about many cities of the Rabbanon, and you have these heterim to rely on, you could probably eat the soup also, but that's a case where one doesn't know if you're in the tricky situation. Yeah?
Forks and knives.
So, same kind of, you could use your fingers. It's just not a different
than a fork.
What?
A knife is probably different than a fork.
Knife's different. You could rip off a piece of chicken. You really? I mean, it'll be gross, but you could do it theoretically. You can't have soup without a bowl, right? That's not happening. No matter how teenage boyish we are, you can't have soup without a bowl. Yeah.
Can you say the same sort of thing with having more dishes than you need? If you could have the food in one plate, but you have 10 plates, could you not say that
once Rav Moshe says it again, so whenever you don't, the whole thing is a chiddush to say. So once you have the chiddush, I would say, you know, that's yesh makom hakel if you need to, but not to extend it. Yeah.
Which cases was Rav Avadi talking about? Which cases was Rav Moshe talking about?
Rav Avadi was about public places, restaurants, hospitals, cafeterias. Okay. Some place where you bought the plates and the stuff for business.
Okay.
And Rav Moshe is even in a private house.
Oh, even in a private house.
Rav Moshe was had to fly to a private house, yeah.
Is
that
the Kalim of Goyim
you could use? Kalim of Goyim you could use, yeah. As long as you know they're not treif. Half cold. That's what they quote the story from Rav Soloveitchik, that one time he was in a place and he took out a bowl and a spoon and he was having cereal. He says, "Why, so what are you doing?" He's like, "I'm having cereal." He says, "What do you mean? The blias?" He says, "It's cold. It's cold. You could have eaten hot pig in here beforehand. It's clean. It's cold." He's like, "You stop it! You're trafing out my kitchen." I'd say the women have like this emotional, thing that's you have to know what that law is. You can't be more machmir. You can't be more mako. But again, because the first question any rabbi asked when they get the kashrus, what was the temperature? Was it cold? You put a milchik fork into a cold piece of meat. Nothing. Wash it off. So again, if it's clean. Okay, next rule. Again, what about an interesting tshuva? Indirect kinyanim from a guy, the Har Tzir. See, that's what Frank talks about. There was a stories about certain Arab villages that the Israeli army, was victorious over, and there was a lot of hefker kalim. What happens if a kli is hefker in between? You have to total that. It's not directly from a guy. Right, I went from a goy to hefker to a Jew. So that's a fascinating discussion here in Source 21. Hams are not plugal, he dates Sahal. Im Chayavim Bitvila. The Katesha Shanim Avram, Yemesh Zachina Luros Chassi, Hashem Yisbarach, Shirov, Arsena Kadosh, Nichvasha, Yede Agoyim, Ubetok Halal Shalah, Yev, Naflu Biat, Savag and Al Yisrael, Harbe Klesu, the Chadoshim Gam Yishanim, Shirok Shuba, they did Agala, did Libun, but they need Tvila. You have to do Tvila, Kidin Kona Klesu, the man Afri. The Rabu Adeos, Yeshoru, yeah, Kimish Oben Rishmi, well, technically, we're not politically correct to take their stuff. So then, you know, maybe I have to say it was Hefker. We took it from the Hefker. We did. They were Yat Mitzayish. It goes through a whole political discussion. Anyway, very fascinating discussion about that. What about Yisrael Mumar? What about Yisrael Mumar? What? So the answer, he says, he thinks that you have to in that case. You have to in that case. He doesn't think it really went to Hefker in between. I'll give you the whole Shuvah to look at. Yisrael Mumar, we paskin, does not require, he's considered a Yisrael for this regard. You have to know every area of halakha. You have to know he's got a Jew, meaning a non-from Jew, is called a Jew in this regard. One does not have to tell the Caleb. There does not have to tell the Caleb of his that he, let's say, created. That he created. Where does it start from? There is a minna that a Baal Tshuva should go to the mikvah. There is a minna quoted in the Raman Yeradeh. Yisrael Mumar Shas Tshuva in Tzorach Litbo, Rak Mitzor Abundant, usually Litbo, or Kabbalah of Dibri Chaver is Bifnei Gimel. Maker Adin, he's not a Ger, he's a full Jew. So there's a minna to go to the mikvah. So maybe you don't bet his Kalim, but you know, one doesn't have to be Machmir in that regard. The Shulchan Aruch does say, though, I think we had this before, the Shulchan Aruch earlier in Yud Aleph. If I have Kalim and I sold them to a guy and then I bought them back, that requires tefillah. Doesn't matter that originally I tovled it. Once a guy owns it, if I buy it back, then it requires tefillah. And this is why the Pesachei Tshuva quotes, did I give this to you somewhere? Yeah. Put it to the back page. We'll get back to the... something that we skipped also. I skipped something I was going to mention earlier. Says the... what's my other sheet? One second. We'll go out of order for a second. Says the Shulchan Aruch there in 26. Yisrael Shemachar Kli Lovik Ochavim V'chazav Olachayim Mimenu Tzarek Tvila. Requires Tvila. Pesachei Tshuva says, when you sell the chametz to the goy before Pesach, don't sell the Kalim. Don't sell the Kalim, because then you're going to be busy after Pesach. Right? Because it's a real sale. Not fake. We sell the chametz, and we might sell the bleas in the pots, but we don't sell the pots. Kishimokher Yoros Oikochavim, Baal Fer Pesach. Mishim Chametz, Shetzar Tfilachar Pesach. Mutav Shalom Akram, don't sell them. The Aruch HaShulchan says, if you did, maybe you didn't mean it. Maybe you didn't mean it, so then it's okay, lakula. But lechatchila, we emphasize that. Well, we don't sell the kalim because we don't want to run into issues of tefillah. Yeah.
How do you sell bleos without selling the kli?
What do you mean? Is there mamashas in there?
Yes.
I'm saying, it's like, I mean, if you cook something in there, sometimes you can taste it. So there's something going in there. Halacha recognizes bleo. So we assume there's something tangible there. Even if we don't, it's not like 4F of beer. Not 4F of beer. The bottle's called the. We'll get to that. We'll talk about Snapple bottles probably next week, or 2 weeks. The bottle. So we'll talk about whether they have the status of clean. Good. So this is the Pesachei Tshuva, and that was the Aruch HaShulchan. We paskin that the one that we just skipped. What if you don't know if it was made by a Jew, not made by a Jew? So the rule is, we paskin, Rav Moshe says in 23, Chelek Gimel Siman Daled, that if it says made in Israel, you can assume that it was made by a Jewish owner, and therefore one does not have to tovel it. Even though there could be non-Jewish workers or owners, if it says made in Chutz La'aretz somewhere, so you can assume it needs to be with a bracha. Right, that's enough karv levadai that it require tefillah even with a bracha. Does a ger have to tovel his kalim? It was always his, and now it stays his. So this is discussed by the Darkei Tshuva. You have it there in source 25. That Me'ikar Hadin, he says, quotes, Darkei Tshuva is a compilation of the previous one of the earlier Mukacha Rebbe's on Yeridaya. Fizanir, the Gershon is Gaier, called Kalot Sri Fatvil of Ayn Sham. Fascinating that nobody talks about this. Why doesn't somebody talk about it? Lachar, we would say yes tefillah without a bracha. That's what we probably say, yes tefillah without a bracha, because we're not sure. Yeah.
Come back to the Mian in Israel. Is there a reason to be tefillah without a bracha?
There what?
Should you be tefillah without a bracha for Mian in Israel?
No, Mian in Israel, I would say, does not require tefillah. Does not require tefillah at all. This is backgrounds and rules and regulations on Tfilas Kelim. Let's get into the next section. Types of utensils that require tefillah. That's in the second packet that you're getting right now. Types of utensils that require tefillah.
Right.
Yeah.
What about companies? Doesn't the Shachar have something like about companies?
Companies.
That's not Goy or Jew.
That's not Goy, meaning if you buy from a company and nobody has...
Whatever, these big companies are on the stock exchange.
Yeah, so I assume most of them are Goyim.
You don't have like a separate...
I assume most of them are Goyim. Again, I'm not familiar, but let's look at it. Yeah.
If you buy something for like Oshad, even though you don't know it's made in Israel, but can you assume that it is made in Israel?
Everything says where it's made. Everything says where it's made. You don't have to... there's no mystery here. Okay. Number one, metal. Let's see, there are 10 things to talk about here. We'll see how far we get. Number one, metal. Right? So, metal is mechuyev in tevilah. Again, the Raisa, the Rabbanan, the Machlokes. But metal is mechuyev in tevilah. The six metals mentioned in the Parsha. Silver, all silverware requires tevilah. Right? Any metal pot, all pots require tevilah. Ramosha talks about coin on an airplane. That's a big discussion. Right, but the metal is that block tuma? Are there certain metals that are not makabel tuma? I just gave you that. The Ramosha talks about there again, and this might even be a little outdated because there's different ways they make planes and different materials that they use. Since Ramosha wrote this Tshuva in 1972, Beis Sivan, Tavshin Lamed Beis, but he talks about there Yeshivas Yisrael in Antwerpen, the Medina's Belgia. That's what he talks about there. So he talks about the Jubas, he talks about the six metals mentioned. He said, what do you do about aluminum? Are the six, is there anything included besides those six? But even the Maisa, metal requires tefillah. Wood and stone does not require tefillah. Wood spoons, stone dishes, those are the real heavy dishes. Stone and wood does not require tefillah. If, right, that the Shulchan Aruch says, what happens if it has... Kli HH lo chashukim shel barzel has metal handles. Sometimes you have like salad spoons that they're wooden and they have metal handles. If the food is not meant to touch the metal, then it does not require tevilah. We're going to talk about details in 2 weeks, for the Shem, when we talk about different types of kalim. Anytime that the food is not meant to touch the metal, it does not require tevilah. Right? Bira Gra says on that Shulchan Aruch, Kima Sheimish Tamich and Derech Hamateches, the Kli Suda Beinan. Only Klei Suda are included. If they are, let's say the metal goes all the way down to close to the edge and it's common for the metal to touch the food, then I would tovel it without a bracha. Tovel without a bracha. But if it's just the edges that have metal and it's not really meant to touch the food, then it would not require a bracha. Good. Glass. Glass is chayiv and tefillah. For sure, it's only midrabanan. The metal is a machlokes rishonim. That might be daraisa, but tovel in glass is for sure derabanan. But that's what we paskin. It's chai. This is also a little misconception. Some people think you don't have to tovel glass. That's wrong. There's a chiyuv to tovel glass with a bracha. With a bracha. The Gemara in Shabbos talks about, and I gave it to you summarized from the Aruch HaShulchan. You know, what's the connection between glass and, you know, glass? You know, how do you know glass? So glass is connected to sand. Right, it's connected to metal in some ways. The Gemara talks about the tumah of glass is derabanan, but it's similar to metal in some ways. It's similar to cheres in some ways. But either way, lamaisa we paskin that glass is chayiv derabanan. So is there any difference? So glass includes all types of glass, Pyrex, Duralex, all the different types of items that are considered glass. Like sometimes, like a lot of like cereal bowls, those kind of bowls, you know, the white bowls that. So that could have the halacha of glass. Glass doesn't have to be see through. There are certain things in halacha that have the status of glass, like they smash the smithereens when you drop them. That's glass. Right, that's, stone also breaks, but glass breaks in a specific way. Is there a kula? Are there any differences between, glass and metal? So, I once had the shiloh. Talmidim, remember I was a Rebbe in YU still, Talmidim that went for a ski trip somewhere, and they said, Rebbe, we bought a pot, can we tovel it in the snow? There's no mikvah around here, but there's a humongous amount of snow. So first of all, it's a little tricky because you have to have a very large, the number of cubic meters to be considered arboim saw that wasn't touched by anybody. It's a little complicated. But what about mikra adin? So the Chachmas Adam says, if it comes to glass, because the mitzvah is on your rabbanon, you can be naked on top of the snow. That's what Pesach Yeshuvah calls the Chachmas Adam. Shas at Chach mutu lipo kli sluchas b'shelek. But it was a metal pot, so it didn't help. It was a metal pot, but that could be one difference between the glass and other materials. But generally, right? I have the shear down. Rabbi Heidman says you need 240 cubic feet of snow joined together. Figure out how much that is and how much you have measured. But anyway, that's glass. Plastic. The consensus is no need to tovel plastic. No matter how many times you use it, no need to tovel plastic. Yeah.
But by the snow, when you be able to just do a hashaka with the snow and the month of snow?
Hashaka, that's complicated. Hilchos Mikvos, right? The hashaka, hamshaka, those, it's complicated to do it in the snow. We're not building the snow. So again, we mentioned the different Pyrex, Duralex, that's all considered glass. According to most Corel, Corningware, other types of materials that you'll learn about also when you get engaged. Some say no, many folks can say the total at least without a bracha. China. A lot of these Shabbos, bowls or plates. So Ruby the Rule, the post can say that it's considered to be teres and it does not need to be tovelt. It does not need to be tovelt, China. The Aruch HaShulchan quotes that they used to tovel them because they had a certain glaze on them. Glazed china. For olam no, b'yameinu eila b'chol medinos ikar tashmisha klei suda, karz gadolos v'chulu, porcelain, v'yamem shum ha-teches, for olam nagu lat bilan, v'chulu. Oh, he continues in the continuation, the last line. Glazed dirt, v'yamein englazed. Anyway, without a bracha. Many posts can assume. There are those that say tovel china without a bracha. There are those that I think Rabbi Heidemann also passes that way, Rabbi Shechter, and many others say that the glaze in the days of the Aruch HaShulchan is not the glaze of Bizman HaZeh. It's very, very thin, and our china is still called china, even if it's glazed china, and therefore one would not need to tovel it. It's a big kula, it's a big, it saves a lot of tircha. But that's the shita of many that glaze does not require to be tovelt. Okay, I guess we have to stop here, but what we're up to is disposable bottles, cans, electrical utensils. Right, those are crucial to know about. That's in terms of types of utensils. Then we'll get to the definition of klei suda, preparing for the tefillah, the actual tefillah, a couple of other issues. We'll try to squeeze it in, but we can finish it again next week. I assume it won't be in a shir. Hakka, it'll be in 2 weeks' time.